think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you so much for tuning in here at 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Remember, you can always stream podcasts of the show at huntleyradio.com. I Hate Hamlet is one of the funniest modern stage comedies you will ever see. Written by the esteemed Paul Rudnick, the play features the ghost of legendary actor John Barrymore coming back from the dead to coach a TV star to play the role of Hamlet. Barrymore, of course, is regarded as the greatest Hamlet of all time. I have the great joy of performing in the Elgin Theatre Company production of I Hate Hamlet, playing September 30th through October 9th. Joining me today is David Gazor, who takes on the challenge of playing the icon, John Barrymore, in the Elgin Theatre Company production. Welcome to the show, David.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. So let's talk about I Hate Hamlet.
Okay.
What was it that appealed to you about the show that made you interested in being in a production like this?
The role, John Barrymore. He's a character. He's a rich character, of course. And at first, I thought it was Drew Barrymore. No, just kidding. Was I confused when they pulled out a different costume? No, but John Barrymore is just an iconic. He's a legend in theater. So the opportunity to play John Barrymore, he is what we would call a bit of a ham, a bit of an overactor, and it's always fun to just kind of ham it up and, you know, chew some scenery and have a good time.
So what can you tell us that you learned about the actual John Barrymore before doing this role?
Well, that he comes from, or he is a rather large part of a iconic family, as everyone knows. I mean, this is no surprise, but the Barrymore family, I didn't know that, here's a trivial question for you, that his father's given name was Blythe, okay? The play Blythe Spirit was actually titled after the Barrymores.
Really? Yeah. How incredibly interesting.
Yeah, which is a story about a ghost. So, there are a lot of little tidbits of John Barrymore. He had a lot of difficulty in his life, and he made the best of it. And he had a great sense of humor about himself. He didn't take himself too seriously, which in that day and time was a rarity.
So he didn't take himself too seriously, yet he is considered one of the greatest actors to ever play a very serious role in that being Hamlet. When you tackle playing the ghost of John Barrymore, what is your approach to handling those dramatic moments, those moments where you actually have to perform Shakespearean dialogue?
You know what, Ricky? The dramatic moments seem to be a little easier. The timing for drama is the timing of comedy, but slightly off. And so tackling those few dramatic parts, the little bit of Shakespeare that we sneak into this play, I would tell you it's not as much of a challenge as it is to get the timing correct, the timing just right for the comedy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen you in a lot of comedies. Do you have a background in dramatic roles as well, or do you stick to comedies?
No, I love doing any kind of theater. Comedy is the biggest challenge to me. I feel more at home doing comedies. But as I say, during the rehearsal process, it is so close. Drama and comedy are so close, and we've all heard that. But during the rehearsal process, a comedy usually does start off at the reading, and throughout a lot of the rehearsal time, a comedy does seem like a drama. You know, the cast gets a lot of doubts, has a lot of doubts, because it's not all that funny until everybody is comfortable with their lines, comfortable with their characters, and then the comedy starts seeping in when the timing gets right. And that's what's going on with this play, as a matter of fact, as we speak.
Yes. Now, in terms of comedy and drama, it all comes down to developing the character, no matter what play you're in. What was your process for developing this particular character that's part real person and part spoof?
Yes, okay. Good. Wow, that's a good question. I think that this would probably be specific only to me for this, and that is I'm channeling my father.
Okay.
My father introduced me to theater. My father also was the type of man that whenever we would watch old movies, he would give me the rundown of all of the actors. My father was also in theater, and my father used to love to joke around about being he would call it being a ham bone. So my father at rehearsals and everything, as a matter of fact, I would say how I wish my father were here to watch this. Because what I'm doing is I'm letting my father in, and I'm letting my father, quite frankly, channel John Barrymore. And that's the way this one is going for me. So,
now, did your father, being in theater, did he get you involved in theater? Is that how you got interested in it?
Correct. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was having trouble finding my way. You know, tried Little League, tried sports, tried, you name it, soccer. And then my father found out that there was an audition for a part in a community play. He got me involved in that. I'm one of five kids, so he got other kids involved in the theater as well. I saw my sister perform in Blythe Spirit, as a matter of fact. And when I saw my sister in Blythe Spirit, it really turned me on, because to see one of my siblings doing something, being successful in high school in theater, I thought, oh, I gotta do this. This is a blast. And so I just thoroughly enjoy just escaping into different characters.
And so you've been doing this since childhood, then?
Oh, absolutely.
And straight through, or did you take any breaks?
No, there was a break. Okay. Marriage and kids does that to you.
Yes.
Once I got married, I did take a break. We had some kids, and as a matter of fact, what really got me back into theater were my kids, because I was busy making a living, and one of my children got me the script for 12 Angry Men.
Mm.
They were getting ready to hold auditions at PM&L in Antioch, and I was given the script, and I was told, okay, Dad, it's your turn. Go ahead, do it. And so I went for the auditions, and that's what got me back into theater.
Now, you've actually shared this story with me in more detail before. Mm-hmm. I would love it if you could share with the audience how it came to be that your daughter said, you need to try this, Dad. Because if you share, you were actually being an inspiration to her before that.
Well, I'd like to think so. My child auditioned for a lot of plays in high school, and she wasn't getting any parts, and we would work and work and work to try to get her auditions ready to go. And then I snuck into one of the auditions, and I just stood in the background and watched. And the child that I saw that was getting ready to audition in our basement, where they were just full of vim and vigor and ready to go during the actual auditions, just closed up. And they were frightened, and they just didn't blossom on stage. And so what I told my child was to just put it all out there. Don't worry about what other people think of you. Just let it all out. You don't have to be great. You just have to shine in any way possible. That's what directors are looking for. Something, somebody they can work with. And when it was time for me to audition, I was given the exact same advice. And at that same audition for 12 Angry Men, I sat there like a little mouse. I didn't have a very good audition. And thank heavens, the director, at the very end of the audition, she said, does anyone want to try anything different? Is everyone satisfied? And I just had a flash of my daughter giving me this advice. And so I put my hand up and I said, yeah, you know what? I want to read for juror number 3. And that's as soon as I read for juror number 3, the way I felt was, even if I don't get it, I did exactly what I taught my daughter. But I did get the part, and it all worked out for the best.
Now, prior to this, you've been an actor since you were a child. Prior to this show, had you done Shakespeare?
I played Theseus in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Shakespeare in the Park, Peterson Park in McHenry.
Okay. Yes. And what was that experience like?
That was my first, that was a complete different experience. Playing Shakespeare is a complex impossibility. It is like speaking several different languages. It is very, very difficult. And the great challenge is to have a coach, not only a director, but a coach that helps you do the translation, work the translation, work the emotion, work the rhythm to get it right. It was a blast because at that same production, my child was also in. She played Puck.
Oh, wow.
And then my youngest daughter played a fairy, and my middle daughter was in charge of doing the costumes. So it was a family production.
Oh, that's wonderful. Have you ever had that happen in other shows where you got to do it with your
kids?
Not
with all of them. Okay. No, not with all of them.
But you have got to play opposite some of your kids individually in shows.
Yes, okay. But in that one, we did change our names to keep Life. From embarrassing yes. the family.
Yes. You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today I'm discussing Elgin Theater Company's production of the staggeringly brilliant comedy play I Hate Hamlet by Paul Rudnick, playing now through October 9th. My guest, David Gazor, I'm screwing up your name, David.
It's Gazor.
David Gazor plays the role of the ghost of John Barrymore. The side-splitting comedy directed by Regina Belt Daniels also stars Trace Gamache, Travis Gruhl, Allison Thomas Haig, and Karen Mayberry Gruhl. Oh yeah, I'm in the show too. For ticket information, go to elgin-theater.org or call the box office at 847-741-0532. Now, David, let's talk a little bit about our show in particular. Had you ever worked with our director, Gina, before?
No, and I will tell you, when I got this opportunity, ever since, I have been incredibly jazzed about it.
Tell us about working with Gina. This is your first time working with her. She's one of my favorite directors. But rather than me repeat over and over how great she is, I like to hear other people say how great she is.
You know what? One of the things that I like most about working with Gina is she lets the actor go. She just lets the actor go. And she has a very, very sneaky way of getting actors to change what they're doing if that's what's part of her vision. She asks questions as opposed to giving orders. It is truly a collaborative event. And of course, she has the talent to bring this group of people together. She's chosen an incredible cast. And she's a lot of fun to work with. She brings out the best in people.
She really does. I mean, she's a very positive person. I've never seen her talk down to an actor.
Right.
And she, like you said, rather than just tell an actor what to do, she'll ask questions. She gives homework.
Right.
Do you recall any of the homework assignments that she gave you?
Well, you know what? It's not so much in this particular case. It's not so much homework assignment as it is a question that you asked me a little earlier, which was how is it to actually do some Shakespeare, to portray and read some Shakespeare? She would just ask questions. What do you think this means? It's a very simple question, but yet it's a question that needs to be asked when you're preparing for not only a role, but particular scenes and particular lines in these plays. She would just question a particular reading or a particular question. Why are you there on stage? What makes you want to sit down at this moment? Which I have now learned after several weeks of working with her. That's her way of saying, hey, I don't want you to sit down right now.
So what have you learned about yourself playing John Barrymore?
That I am a lot more like John Barrymore than I care to admit.
Wow. Okay. Now you gotta give us the dish
on
here.
Well, you know what? It's... I would tell you what, here's the secret, and it's only just between the three of us in the room, right?
Right. Okay, nobody listens to the all show right. at all.
So here's the dirty little secret. This role is an incredible ego trip, because if anyone were to read the actual script, when the ghost of Barrymore appears on stage for the first time, there are notes that the author puts in the script. And the author describes John Barrymore as a strikingly handsome, incredibly sexy man. Yeah, that's not me. So that stretches. It really does stretch, and it allows me to, during our breaks, and I like to joke around a lot. And playing John Barrymore just allows me to joke around and to just have a good time. And I think it's bringing the whole cast. Everyone's having a good time doing this type of thing.
Oh, I cannot argue with that.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of Barrymore, he was this great Shakespearean actor. But before that, he was a light comedian. He he played trashy little plays. And he was also a terrible alcoholic and a womanizer. So tell us a little bit about exploring those elements of the character.
Oh, well, yes, I'm a womanizer and an alcoholic too. Those are the parts of me that are like John Barrymore.
No.
Yeah, it's really tragic. It's really tragic. And I believe that John Barrymore stumbled into success. Like Michael Jordan that tried in high school and grade school to play basketball, couldn't get on a team, and then all of a sudden it just popped for him. And that's the same thing with John Barrymore. I mean, he was surrounded by a successful family. He was a comedian, as we've both said already. And then he accepts this role as Hamlet, and it is an impossible role. I mean, it's a 3.5 to 4 hour play of in Shakespeare. Oh my Lord.
And it's almost entirely a monologue by
right.
Hamlet. I was just watching the Kenneth Branagh movie version the other night. Wow. The amount of dialogue that man just spouted
right.
forth as if it's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, you want to talk about exact rhythm, exact timing. This is like the closest thing I could think to Shakespeare and Hamlet would be Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Because every rhythm, every beat, every word, every syllable has to be just exactly right. Otherwise, the entire cast and the entire show is thrown off the rail.
Yeah. Now, the author of I Hate Hamlet is Paul Rudnick, one of the most successful modern comedy writers. Is he a writer that you've worked other shows by him, or what's your impression of this show in terms of the writing?
The answer is no. I have not done anything else of his. I love the writing of this show. It's incredibly clever. As we get to memorize our lines and we get to repeat the lines over and over and over again, preparing for opening night. As a matter of fact, just the other night, when I showed up at rehearsal, we've been rehearsing now for 5 weeks. I just had three new enlightened moments, and I was so excited. Hey, would you guys check this out? And the way one line in one scene ties into another line in another scene to bring it all together. He really does spin a great story. And it is very important to get the lines correct, because otherwise it messes things up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a line about, I'm not going to give much away, but there's a line about tights in one scene, and it visits us again in the next scene, mm-hmm. and it's just hilarious.
Yes, yes. Now, also in the cast, we have just a wonderful cast, and I'd like to talk about each of the other members for a little bit. We have Travis Gruhl playing Andrew's agent. Have you ever worked with Travis before?
Yes. Travis is quite frankly one of my favorite people on the planet. He's an incredibly talented man. Unfortunately, he doesn't get to sing in this because he has a wonderful voice.
Yeah.
If you ever have a chance to see Travis in a musical, however, he steals this show. His character, he shines as a person that can create a character. He's a fast talking agent in this, and he's an incredibly talented man.
Yes.
Yeah, I love working with him.
And then Travis's real life wife, Karen Mayberry Gruhl, is also in the show. She plays a real estate agent and amateur psychic.
Yeah.
Have you worked with Karen before?
No, and I'm so glad that I got the opportunity here to do so because, again, I can't imagine what their home life is like because with their characters that they're developing, it's just amazing. Yeah, she turns into a complete different person.
Oh, accent and everything.
Yes.
I mean, and she's
even 4 inches taller on stage.
She is, yes. She has been, from day one, has just captured the character,
right.
Just full on, just dove in.
Right.
Now, playing my love interest and your fascination on stage is Trace Gamache.
Yes.
And Trace is, give your impressions of working with Trace.
Trace as a person and as this character is an incredible spirit.
Yeah.
I have had the opportunity to direct Trace in Vanya Sonia Masha and Spike at the Woodstock Opera House, and she is an incredibly talented young lady. I mean, she can turn her character on a dime, and she's a very generous actor.
She's a lot of fun to play off of.
Yes,
because she just gives you so much to work with.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just running a scene with her the other night, and not having the scripts in our hands or anything, just so many things started to blossom. And it takes a real talented person to bring that to the table.
Oh,
absolutely. It's just so wonderful playing opposite her. And then, of course, we also have Allison Haig, who plays my agent.
Yeah.
Tell us about Allison.
You know, this is the first time you wouldn't know this to watch the two of us. But this is the first time I've ever worked with her. I just met her before we started the show, and I'm incredibly impressed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm incredibly impressed with her. I'm having a great time playing opposite her, and I do play opposite her. I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just going to tell you, wow. And we have a good time, and she's outstanding. She's, as a matter of fact, she's been doing another show while she's preparing for this show. So, she's a very, very talented lady.
Now, have you ever done that, been in one show and preparing for another show at the same time?
Not right at the same time. Mm-hmm. Not right at the same time. I have piggybacked one show right after another one. As a matter of fact, I just finished Urinetown at Woodstock, and we finished Urinetown the musical, and we jumped pretty much right into this one.
Very cool. So what is it about a character in general, not just John Barrymore, but a character in general that appeals to you? What makes it a character that you say, yes, I'm going to give up my time and go have some fun?
If it's a character that I find can be memorable, when it comes to a musical, which this is not, by the way, but when it comes to a musical, oftentimes you have your lead couple characters taking a journey through a time or a space, and they run into several interesting characters. That's Mary Poppins is a perfect example of that. She takes the kids on this journey throughout London, and they meet all of these different people. What interests me is, even in small roles and character roles, is the character rich? Is the character going to be somebody that the audience can just completely either relate to or just escape in and really have fun with? John Barrymore is one of those characters. Travis's character, Gary, is one of these characters. And those are the types of characters that I absolutely love.
What kind of characters are you not as enthusiastic about?
The exact opposite of what I just said. there are also characters that are in shows that are a necessity. I look at them as somewhat like transitional characters, where they're a necessity in the storytelling, but they're not memorable. They're kind of like vanilla characters.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect example, the lead in It's a Wonderful Life, okay? He's kind of a vanilla character. He's a vanilla character on a journey, and it's all of those, you know, Mr. Potter and all of these other people, that Bert and Ernie and all of these other people that he meets along the way. He really is somewhat of a forgettable character. It's the adventure that you remember. Yeah, that doesn't excite me all that much to do that type of a character. I'll do it, but it doesn't excite me that much.
So you're doing a character that you love, and yeah. I Hate Hamlet. You're having a blast. What would you say to the listeners? What are they going to experience if they come see I Hate Hamlet?
I'll tell you what. What's more important, in my opinion, and that's really all that matters, is what they're not going to see. This is not going to be 2 hours of heavy-duty Shakespeare. There's almost no real Shakespeare in it. They're going to have a lot of laughs because it is a modern day. It is poking fun at people who don't enjoy Shakespeare, and that's what I love about it.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can also find us at huntleyradio.com. Opening September 30th and running through October 9th, I will be appearing in the hilarious Paul Rudnick comedy I Hate Hamlet for Elgin Theater Company. I've been joined today by David Gager, who brings to life the role of the ghost of John Barrymore, who comes back from the dead to teach a TV star how to play Hamlet. For ticket information, visit elgin-theater.org or call the box office at 847-741-0532. On behalf of David and the rest of the cast, we hope to see you in the audience.
Well done, Ricky.